In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is a really familiar parable about the sower and the seed, and it's one of the few parables that's explained, so you think it's pretty easy. I want to tell just a couple things about the parable, and then let's focus on the things that sort of hit me when I read it a couple times today and yesterday. So it says, a sower went out to sow his seed, that sower of Jesus Christ. And going out, that's a code word, that's his incarnation. He became incarnate to sow his seed. And it says his seed because they're his words. When the prophets spoke, it was thus saith the Lord. But the Lord says, I say unto you. So our Lord speaks with authority and experience, not just as God, but also as man. So he knows what man can do because he is a man. So he speaks with great authority, and it's his seed, his words, nobody else's. Now we have the different kinds of people. And really, the first three shouldn't be of too much interest to us because they don't inherit the kingdom. It's the last one, it's the good ground in which they bear fruit to perfection. They bring forth fruit with patience, or patient endurance, it says. I was listening to somebody recently, and they said they were taught how to tell what a $100 counterfeit bill was, what a counterfeit was. And the way they learned is by learning what a good bill looked like, understanding all the characteristics of a good bill. And then they could tell a counterfeit just by looking at it, because it didn't seem right. It didn't seem, there's something wrong with it. There was something out of kilter. So let's not worry about the bad ground. Let's not worry about the wayside. Let's not worry about the thorns. Let's not worry about the ground that's doesn't have much soil. We don't want to be any of that ground. Let's try to be good ground. Now, when I was reading this, I read something that perhaps we think because we're Christians, because we're Orthodox Christians, that this applies to us. Well, maybe it does, and maybe it doesn't. He says to his disciples, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. So does that sentence apply to you? Which part of it does? The first part or the second part? And how do you know? You thought about this? Christians are supposed to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I can tell you that I'm for sure that some of this does not apply to me. I don't see angels when I pray. Perhaps some of you do. If you do, I'm sure you're humble enough not to tell anybody, so we would never know. And I'll tell you flat out, straight out, I don't see angels when I pray because I'm a sinner. I know something of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven because I stand before the altar and a miracle occurs when I do. And I've seen hearts change. But as far as some of the depth of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, I can't tell you that I see them. I know they are there. I know that they await me, but I don't see them now. He said unto you, it's given to know, and yet we don't always know. He says the reason why people don't know, seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand. So the question is, do you see to see, or do you just see and not understand what you're seeing? Do you hear but not understand what you're hearing? And if you don't hear or don't see, what is it that's keeping you from seeing or hearing? I would submit to you that the answer is right in this parable. Because when he describes the good ground, he talks about those who, with an honest and a good heart, hear the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patient endurance. Are you honest? Is your heart good? Do you hear God's word and keep it? Do you have patience? Now, I'm not talking about the kind of patience that you can put up with being an hour and a half late because of traffic. Very few people have that kind of patience. And that's a wonderful thing for a person to have. But I'm talking about patience in living the Christian life even when there's not a tangible reward. Being honest when it actually doesn't help you. Being kind to someone who's not kind to you. Praying for someone over years, not days, not two or three times, but over years and see no change, or perhaps things get worse. A patient person is a person who prays and never stops, keeps on praying. Of course, the Lord says that in his admonition to us. He says, keep on asking, not just ask once, not just put out a prayer request and then be done with it, but to pray and to keep on praying, to work and keep on working, to do good and keep on doing good. This is the good ground. Christianity is a moral way of living. It is not just a system of belief. Our society wants it to be that. And then they take the beliefs and they make them completely wrong, completely adjustable to whatever a person's personal morality or desire or whim is. Christianity is not just a system of belief, it is a way of living. So if we are to be good ground, we are to take in the gospel, and then we are to live it. Simple as that. And I would submit to you and to myself first, when we hear the gospel, do we hear it, understand what it says, and do we keep it? The gospel tells us to love our brother. The gospel tells us to love our enemy. The gospel tells us basically what is alive and what is dead. And yet, do we cling to things that are dead? To pride, to possessions, to position, to comfort, to entertainment? Or do we, each day that we live, attempt to serve God with our good heart, to learn more of Him, to have Him fill us, and then for His love to radiate outward from us to all of our brothers and our sisters and our enemies and the troublesome people? This is what we must be if we are good ground. So I hope when you read this parable and you see that the Lord says, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, that you don't automatically think, oh, that applies to me. After all, he just explains the parable right after that, and I get to read it. So I must be one of those chosen. And after all, I'm an Orthodox Christian, and therefore, it's given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Well, unless you live with a desire for those mysteries, a desire to not be mundane just and to be earthly and just to live a daily life, you won't know those mysteries. You'll live completely without understanding them, like a person who's living near the ocean but never turns around and sees it. Perhaps you hear it, but you never look at it. So we must be that good ground, brothers and sisters. And we should have some humility. I spoke yesterday about the Apostle Paul saying he glories in his infirmities. We must too. Now that, of course, does not mean that we say, oh yeah, I have all these problems, I'm a sinner. Well, that's just the way it is. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Because I'm a sinner, I cuss, or I drink too much, or I have lust. Well, you know, that's just the way people are. That's human nature. That's not glorying. That's stupidity. That's making excuses. To glory in our infirmities is to say, I'm a sinner, God will help me. And to believe it with all of your heart. And to not think you're something, but that God will help you. And the person who has that opinion of himself, it's a very rare opinion, by the way. I'll be honest with you, very few of us have it. I, as a priest, noticing in confession that this kind of really deep set feeling about ourselves is a very rare feeling. But we must cultivate it and believe ourselves to be sinners, but also for God to help us, that God will help us, that He will help us bring forth fruit. All we need do is hear His word and keep it with patience, that difficult word. May God help us to be the good ground. Don't make any assumptions that you are, please. But struggle to hear the word of God, which, by the way, if you're not reading it, I don't know how you're hearing it. So you better be reading it. If the only time you hear the word of God is in the church, you're in big trouble. You're not going to do well. You have to cultivate about God, the things of God, by reading, studying. I don't mean studying like getting out concordances and stuff. I don't care if you do that or not. But I mean to read the Word of God and ask God to fill you with it so that you'd know it, especially the Gospels and the Psalms. And to pray with desire every day. Perhaps you don't pray enough. Well, then maybe you can pray a little bit better today, a little bit better tomorrow. Maybe you can establish a little bit of a rule for yourself so that you would pray more and so that you'd read more of the Scriptures and beg the Lord to fill you with the knowledge of Him. And He reveals Himself in the Scriptures, absolutely. God help us to be good ground. Amen.